Tonight we're going to ask our sister Ruth Stewart, to one of the first members of our congregation here in Macrofelt, to give her testimony. And we thank God for the Lord saving her and the Lord keeping her. And we also thank God for the help and blessing she's been to the congregation here over many, many years. So therefore, without any further ado, Ruth, just tell us what the Lord means to you. God bless you.
Well, there's two verses of Scripture I want to read. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I want you to keep these verses in your mind as I go through my testimony. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. And the last, another one, these are promises that God gave me. That one God gave me way back in 1969. And the other one, turned back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, and it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Those were promises that God gave me, and I've held on to them ever since, and they've been a blessing. Not only those promises, but many, many more promises in the Word of God. The Word of God is full of promises, but those were two special promises that I got. There's a wee verse of a hymn that in our hymn books would say, "Speak just a word for Jesus, ever to him be true. Speak just a word for Jesus, tell what he's doing for you." And that's what I'm here to do tonight, just to speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. It might be long, it might be short, I might get lost in the middle, but I have to go through this, and that's just that. Well, we better start at the beginning. I was brought up not very far from here, in the wee hamlet of McGargy, Dunarnan, just a couple of miles, maybe around the road there, from the church, into quite a large family. There was eight of us, three boys and five girls. I was placed in the middle. I was number five along the way. And we were brought up in a farming family. My dad was a farmer in the area, and a lot of people knew the family, the Badger family, from around the road there. Not only was my brought up in that family, with also Granda lived with us, and also an uncle that lived with us that wasn't never married. So that meant there was 12 around the table, or maybe didn't get around the table. We tried to get around the table, but there was 12 in that home. And when I think back now and I wonder, and I do not know how my mum or my dad got money to feed us, to clothe us, to educate us, but we never did without. My mother was a great beggar. She could make food and meal out of very, very little. And we all got fed, we all got watered, and we all had a good home life. And in that home, everybody that went through that, come into the yard, for the mealmen used to come, the travellers used to come, the bread man used to come, and all these people used to come. Everybody was brought into the house, and everybody got tea. I think my father just loved chat and crack, for he was a man. If you knew him, if he could get a hold of you, he just wanted someone to talk to. So he was brought in, and mother baked, and the food was there, and everybody got tea in the home. And that was the type of home that I was brought into. Our church life was Lecumfer Presbyterian Church, just across the way there, a couple of miles around the road again, and that's where we were sent to. And we went on our bicycles until we got a car, and off to Lecumfer we went for the morning and service and the Sunday school. And then on the Sunday afternoon, we went to McGargy, had a McGargy Orange Hall, had a wee Sunday school, and we went there. After it closed, we went over to Colshinney. There was a wee Sunday school there. And then over to Ballymochan. All those wee Sunday schools are now closed. And the place was full of children, and those godly men, they taught us the Word of God. And then also on Wednesday night in McGargy Aunt Hall, my Aunt Betsy, many of you still know, and she's still going as large as life, but she always had a meeting in McGargy Orange Hall on a Wednesday night. She had rode out on the bicycle, and she came to her house first, and she got the duster, and she started cleaning and tidy up the house. And then after that, we went over with her over to the hall and had the wee gospel meeting. And there, faithful men came to speak and to teach the word of God. There was two things that I remember in my early life. And I can remember them on a Sunday night, about 8:30, the hymn singing used to come on the radio, or the wires, we called it. And everybody gathered around the home, and the hymn singing came on, and you sit, and we sat and listened to it, and everybody joined in and sang. Also, another thing that I never forgot, one night everybody was in bed, I came downstairs for something. I made my way downstairs anyway. But as I came downstairs, down the bottom of the stairs, there was a little window that showed you into the kitchen and the living room. And then I looked through that window, and there I seen my grandfather, my mother, and my father all around, kneeling at chairs, and they were praying for us. I know. I didn't go in. I looked through the window, and I seen that happening. And I quickly, or slowly, turned my heel and went upstairs, but that never left me. I knew that there was a family altar, and they were praying for me, or praying for us as a family, all the children in bed. Those were the things that stood by me. And I can remember the happy home. Everybody did their part on a Saturday. The girls had to do their cleaning and tidying up and scrubbing chairs. And I think I was ancient to hear me. But anyway, that's what everybody had to do in those days. And everybody had to do their chores about the house, and that's what we did. I can remember school days where I loved school, primary school and then the high school and then the technical, and then I went on to Kittering College in Portrush. But I loved school, and I think it was the sport, but I loved hockey and I loved table tennis. And we used to go on the bicycle to school, and we used to throw our bicycle through up against the wall up there at Highfield Garage. It wasn't owned by the same people it was owned now, but we just threw it up against the wall, and it was never chained or nothing. It was just left lying there, and you went down into school, and I never come home too early. My mother used to say to me maybe at 5:30 or 6:00, "What are you doing at school today? Why are you not home long ago?" And I used to say, "Well, I was playing table tennis and I was playing hockey, and I really enjoyed it." That's why maybe we had to attend it more to my education. It wouldn't be as stupid as I am today. But anyway, I love sport, and I still love sport, but I really enjoy them days of school. Well, our church life, Le Comfort and Union Road, were served by the one minister, and in the morning we went to Union Le Comfort, and then night time we went on over to Union Road at night time. Our meeting was about 6:00, and when the usually after that was over about 7:00, and when we came out to the meeting, we said, "Right, where will we go tonight?" And some nights we decided to go to the Christian Workers Union, and some nights to other wee different meetings about the place. But one particular night we came out, and we were standing in the steps, and my brother was with me and another friend, and said, "Where will we go tonight?" And I don't know who suggested, but somebody said, "We'll go up to Mullaboy Hill. There's a mission up there in Mullaboy Hill. We'll go up there." So we made our way up to the hill here. I don't know if we probably had a car, I'm not sure, but we come up to the hill here, and the tent, there was a little tent just in this field just here at the very top of the hill. And I remember going into the tent, and it was very dark and grubby looking. I can remember there was people on my left-hand side, and then I go down an aisle, and then we were put way on down near the back. And to be honest, the lighting wasn't good. I put it down to that, and it was a cargo tent, and we were way down there, and all I could see was a figure of a person mostly preaching the word of God. And that person was Mr. McRae, was preaching at that first gospel mission, and that was in August 1968. And that night the preacher spoke about heaven for those who were saved and hell for those who weren't saved. Well, I knew I was a bit like Naaman the leper, had all the good points, but Naaman had a button's life, but he was a sinner, he was a leper, and I had good points in my life, but I was a sinner. And I knew if I died, I would go to hell. I knew I wasn't ready to meet God. So we left the meeting. I didn't say much. I was concerned. The meeting, I knew I was concerned. I knew you should have stayed behind. But with company with you, and maybe you have company with you tonight and you don't want to stay behind, but I should have stayed behind that night, but I didn't. But as I went home that night and eventually went to bed, God started to speak to me in a mighty way, in a powerful way in my own home. And I knew that I wasn't right with God, and I was going to have to do something about it. If I was going to be want to go to heaven, I was going to have to be prepared, going to have to get saved and ask the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. So that night, just in my own home, that was the 11th of August 1968, that I simply came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked him to be my Saviour, to come into my life, to take my sins away and to save me. It was by simple faith that I came, and the Lord came in. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And no matter who you are tonight in meeting, if you come, the Lord Jesus Christ will take you in. And I was saved on the 11th of August, 1968. At that time, I was at the Kittering College in Portrush. The mission finished up here. It finished actually the next day. That was the Sunday night, the 11th. It finished the next day. I think there's a prayer service on the Monday night. After that, in the month of September, that little tent went to down to Dismartin, to the field up at Hill 60. And it was put up there. And I remember going there on a Friday night and on a Sunday afternoon, because I was away all week at the college. And I remember being there the night that Mr. McRae, he was the preacher then as well, he took sick and he collapsed. And he was taken to hospital. And the Reverend Gordon Cook was then the minister of Resharkin, a faithful wee man of God. And he was posted to help us in Magherfelt. And he came willingly and helped in the meeting, that mission, and finished that mission down there in Dismartin. Then as time went on, a little wooden hut was constructed. Sandy knows all this as well as I know. A little wooden hut was erected in this site here, just out here in the front of these front doors. And that wee hut came from the Reverend James Beggs. And it was a quaint wee hut. There was no style. There was no nothing about it. It wasn't even sealed inside. There was just one front door in. You went out onto the back. Once you opened the back door, you just stepped out onto the field. It was simply nothing. It was just plain wee hut for the preaching of the Word of God. Also, another thing about it was there was very little heat about it, and it was very cold. And that wee hall. But the services there started on a Sunday afternoon at 3:30. And my elder sister had just got married in August. And she had a little dog, a little corgi dog. And this little dog was left at Dunarnin with us. So I decided that I would take it out for a walk on Sunday. So I said, right, I'm taking the dog around the circle. We called it the circle. So I came around the circle with the dog. And as I was coming down past the wee hut, wee hall, I heard the singing. And I said, well, if I'm spared next Sunday, I'll have no dog with me, and I'll begin to hear what's going on and what is in that little hall. So God gave me grace, and the next Sunday I left the little dog at home, and I walked over here to the little hut and came in and I hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I started attending the prayer meeting at that time as well. It was on a Friday night. I was away during the week, so we just come on the Friday night to the prayer meeting. The numbers were very small. It's not like the prayer meeting we have now today, thank the Lord. We had a very small little gathering of people. They just sat around in a little ring. Some nights it was 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When I came here, when I seen two little mini cars, I knew one of them was Mr. McRae. He was there to take the prayer meeting that night. I knew the other one was Lily Hutchison and Sarah McKee. They were at the prayer meeting. Willie Lees and Mrs. Lees were at the prayer meeting. Sandy was at the prayer meeting. A number of other people, the Spears, maybe a few other people were at that prayer meeting. Those were little prayer meetings. Mr. McRae sometimes took the prayer meeting, and some nights the Reverend Gordon Cook was here to take the prayer meeting. And then the Reverend Cook, he sent a big tall man. I don't know who he was, I can't remember his name, but he was a large, tall man, and he prayed and he prayed. And sometimes we thought, is this man never going to stop praying? But anyway, the Lord was with him, and God answered the prayers. And I remember some of those people around that little group that used to pray, Lord, you know we need a minister for this congregation, and if it be thy will, send us that young student, Mr. McRae, to be the minister. That was the prayer. And we prayed, and God answered prayer, and eventually the Reverend McRae was called to be the minister of the congregation. But those were wee humble meetings. Also, too, as I said, the wee hall was cold, and Sandy, I think, was sent to buy some type of heating for it. He came back with a fire with one bar on it, and that was the heating. And as you prayed, as you prayed, there was no carpet on the floor, it was just a wooden floor. And as you prayed, that little heater, it was pulled from you, and it was somebody else took it to them to warm their legs and warm their feet and warm their hands. And then somebody else prayed, and the wee heater, it went to somebody else. And that's how those wee meetings were started, and that's how the church went on. And God heard, and God answered prayer. There was a thing in my life that I knew that I would have to get rid of if I was going to go on with God. It was just a simple thing, and it was the accordion band that I was in. And I realized that prayer meeting was then on a Friday night. The youth fellowship was on a Saturday night. And if I was going to go on with God, I couldn't be out at a band parade. The band parades were usually Friday and Saturday night. I was going to have to miss the prayer meeting. I was going to have to miss the youth fellowship. So God gave me grace to nothing against the band. I loved it. But I wanted to go on with God, so I had to make a mid-sacrifice. And God blessed me for doing that, for I wanted to honour the Lord. One night at the youth fellowship, it must have been Mr. McRae was speaking at it, for we had great times at the youth meetings, tremendous times. And remember one night he spoke on separation and going on with God. And he challenged all our hearts. And after the meeting, I remember a number of us speaking to him again, and he said, young people, and he opened up the scriptures and said, if you want to go on with God, there's steps that you're going to have to take. And you're going to have to honour the Lord and separate. I knew it was going to be difficult and hard, but I knew that God was speaking to me and regarding it. So I went home, and the house was quiet. I think some of them were still out, and the rest of them were in bed. But that night I made my way upstairs, and like all old houses, as I was making my way upstairs, I always tried to avoid the step from the top, because it always creaked, and that you always knew if you were trying to slip in, it always let you down. It creaked. But as I made my way up that night, the step, it creaked again, the tread and the stairs, it creaked. And my mother, their bedroom was at the very top of the stairs on the right-hand side, and my mum said, I can hear her saying it, she said, Ruth, is that you in? And I said, yes, it is. And then with my heart pumping out of my chest, I said, don't call me for church in the morning. I'm going to the Free Presbyterian Church from now on. Well, that was the stand that I had taken, the choice that I had made. Now, it was not, I must say, for the next few weeks, it was not easy. As you can know, the family was all brought up in the church across the way, and it wasn't easy, but I had to honour the Lord, and I knew that if I was going to go on with God, that I knew that I had to separate. I had to sit underneath the faithful preaching of the Word of God, and I made my choice. The next few weeks wasn't very easy, but God gave me grace and to stand out for Him. A little hut then, Mr. Beggs, we all had to go away to another mission to be used, and the men in their wisdom erected a little tin hut here and just in front of the church as well. And I started attending it, and I remember the day it was opened, the late Mrs. Lees. Remember us painting it inside? We thought we had arrived, and we had this little hut, and we painted, and Tommy Spears, he made the little pulpit, and everybody worked together. And remember the day Mrs. Lees cut the ribbon? That was in August in 1969. And then I joined the church. Remember Mr. Beggs, being interviewed by Mr. Beggs for becoming membership of the church. And then I was part of the work full time. Moving on to 1971, Mr. McRae had got married, and I was at a wee car then. I called her Grace. She needed Grace when I was driving, but anyway, a little car, she called her Grace, and I was heading up Highfield Road. And as I made up my way up Highfield Road, I met, standing out on the footpath was Margaret Elliott, and little Tilly Wiley. They were standing out on the footpath, and they wagged me down, and they said to me, "Ruth, Reverend McRae's looking at you." Well, I said, "What's he looking at me for? I don't know. What do I do? Well, they said, "You better call in on your way up past." They said he didn't say he was down here looking at you. And I said, "Well, that's okay." So I made my way up the road, and I stopped and rang the door, and he came out and he said, "Will you do something for me?" Well, I didn't know what he was going to ask, but anyway, I said, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "Will you take me up to the police station?" He says, "I'm handing myself in." He said, "They're coming." He was arrested for the protest, and he was going to prison for 6 months. And he said, "The police are coming to lift me today, but I don't want them to come to the house. Would you take me up to the police station?" Well, I says, When's that? He says, "Now." So I said, "Okay, right, I'll go." And I went and I sat in the car. I said, "I'll go and sit in the car until you're ready to come." And he came, eventually came out to the house. And now Mrs. McRae didn't come out wagging after me. And again, I never seen her. And I didn't take me long, went down past the high school and round the diamond and up. And I dropped him off outside the police station. And I said goodbye and God bless until I see you again. So I said, "I better go and see where Mrs. McRae's at, for I never seen her. I don't know where she's at." So when I came back down again, and I went in the house, and I couldn't find her in the first room, and I couldn't find her in the second room. And I says, "Where is this woman at?" So I went on and through the kitchen, and here she was standing behind the door crying. Well, not a bit of wonder, her husband of only a few weeks had taken away. And well, the church gathered around her, and we stayed with her, used to stay with her at the weekend, and they helped her, the church looked after her. And Mr. McRae, he would have sent out a wee note from, he shouldn't have been doing it, but he sent out a wee note, I don't know, he slipped it out, and some of the men would have read that little note at the service on a Sunday night and tell how he was getting on and encouraging the work to go on. So that was the early days of that. And met Barry in 1971, and in 1974 we got married in a little tin hut. Now some of the family said, when I said I was getting married, they said, "Well, I'm not going to it." Well, I said, "Well, if you don't want to go, that's your choice, but we're still getting married." But when the day came, there was none of them missing. My sisters were on the wedding, the whole family outfit, as you would say, were all there, and everybody came to the wedding. And the Lord, as the years went on, the Lord blessed us with 4 children, 3 boys and a girl. I remember the first little hut, the wee tin hut. I remember it had to be extended 3 times. And it was extended out to the back, and then it was extended to the side. And when it was being extended out to the back, I remember one very, very wet night, Mrs. Paisley, Dr. Paisley's mother, had come to speak at the meeting. And she was speaking at it, and the one, it was roaring, the rain that was coming down so heavy, and the little extension that they were starting to put on, that started to lift, and the men had to go out and put ropes over it and hold it down as the meeting went on. The place was bunged, and a lot of people had to go away, they couldn't get in. And she spoke in that text of Scripture, "Will you also go away?" Jesus spoke to the disciples as found in John. And that night she spoke, and her brother Timothy Anderson that night got saved, and Hughie Wiley. But that was a wonderful meeting. Sometimes, even when she was speaking, you could hardly hear her voice because the rain was coming down in the wee iron hall. I got involved in the work, and especially the youth fellowship. It was very dear to me in the children's meeting, and making teas as usual, because a lot of the work was all done voluntary, and the men gave up their time, the woman of the congregation was always there helping to make teas and stuff like that. Remember, I was just thinking about it over the last few days. Remember this shell of this church being put up? And remember coming in one day, used to come up after, bring the children up after school and look around and do things. And Barclay Morrow was building this beautiful wall here. You know, I was thinking, when we write a memory verse or we write a verse of scripture, we start from the top and we write the verse down to the bottom. But Barclay Morrow was starting from the bottom and working up to the top. And I said to Barclay, I said, how are you going to manage that? And he said, get a plan and all made out, and today there's not a brick out of place. As a testimony to his work and his labour for the Lord. And it was a tremendous day, this church was opened. There was hundreds of people here. They were everywhere. They put a tent across the road there. It was full. And we fed the people. Remember little Bobby Ditty of Castle Dawson? Bobby used to make the teas for the 12th of July day. And Bobby came with his big gas boilers, and they were put along the side here at the church, and they had those big, big teapots. And we poured tea and we fed people. And it was a tremendous day, the day that it was opened. And that was in 1978. And then the elders and the committee always were very forward-looking, and as the time went on, they bought a field and they put up the complex. And what a blessing it was for so many meetings is now convened over in the complex. And I was thinking there's hardly a night a week that there's not, or a day, that there's something on in the complex. And then they joined the two buildings. You sort of come round the side, and then through time the two places were joined together. And what the Lord has done for us, we will never cease to praise Him. To God be the glory, great things He has done. And as time went on, I stepped down from the helping in the youth fellowship and still helping the children's meeting, helper, doing anything that is asked me to do or tried to do anyway. And then on a Monday or a Tuesday night, Margaret Shields and I try to go into the nursing home or maybe call in with some old person that has been with the work in the work and can't get out any longer. And it's a joy just to say, listen, I want to let you know that you're not forgotten about. We were just there on Tuesday night past and called in to a wee woman. And when we opened the door, I'm not well. And she was just heading to bed and she was so depressed and so lonely. And so we sat with her and talked with her and went back over the old days of the church, and she was part of the work, how the joy of the Lord filled her life. And she said it then. She says, why are you going so soon? You know, stay a wee while longer. But people that are closed in, they'd just love to see somebody just to call, just say, listen, I'm thinking about you and thank you for being part of the work in the early days of the life. So God has been faithful. Remember the verses of scripture that I read? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundance. Never did I think when God gave me that verse, I have it marked in my Bible, December 1969, never did I think that exceedingly abundant thing that the Lord could do. And tonight I want to thank Reverend McRae, the Sunday school teachers, the youth workers, the children's meeting workers, and all those who've labored in prayer for us as a family and our children. And you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And tonight, Liam's serving the Lord in Coleraine, David is preaching in down in Bangor, and Andrew and his friends are away singing down in Portobogie. And Mervyn, we pray that someday that he too will be serving the Lord in the land of Australia. Nothing's impossible with God. The Lord can do exceeding abundance above all we could ever ask or think. I was saved in 1968. And going on with God, that's what I want to do for the rest of the days that God has given us, the congregation, to go on with God. What about you tonight? There's many people maybe in the congregation that have been here for years, come to church. Maybe those who are listening in tonight in their own home have happy memories of you and used to come to the church and in their fellowship. And tonight you're still maybe not saved. So maybe some are backsliders, far away from God. I wonder what's keeping you back. Is it your friends, your family? Is it maybe something, maybe someone? You know, you need to come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Many have come, but there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. And my prayer is, in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that you might be saved." And tonight, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're still not saved, many know the way. Not probably everybody in the congregation knows the way, but you will not come to him. And if you would come to him, the Bible says, "Him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I came just simply in my own home, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, and thank God not only he saved me, but he's kept me. And to him be the praise and glory. Amen.